episode 64. When I'm 64, we're recording in Vancouver, live to tape from
Bean around the world,
where everybody knows Dale's name,
Hastings
where
and Canby.
Everybody knows Dale's name,
and I once scored some free goulash.
Once scored some what?
Free goulash.
Ooh,
one from one of the cook baristas.
Ungarische goulash super.
It was a family recipe. Yeah.
Should we talk about Hungarian food then?
That's all I can talk about. I have eaten Hungarian food.
Today on the internet, there is a denial of service attack. Could you explain in human-friendly terms what that actually means, Dale?
I will try. That is when you take a whole bunch of different internet devices and you bombard a particular server with so much traffic, it just dies. It's four little hoofies waving in the air because it can't handle all the traffic.
Right. So it's like, you know when you use your web browser, hopefully Firefox, but I won't be mad at you if you use Chrome. Or Edge, or whatever.
It's like trying to drink a glass of water from a fire
hose.
And
I open dale42.ca. That is a single request for that website. But imagine if I had a robot that would try to open dale42.ca 1 million times in an hour. That's a denial of service attack because, right? Is that
yes.
a good explanation?
That works.
A different explanation?
I like my fire hose better.
Yeah, so the fire hose of a million requests
yes.
overwhelms your little fire, your ability to put out the fire.
Your ability to drink.
Your ability to drink. To serve legitimate web page traffic, for example.
Yep.
So Netflix. Netflix was a victim of this attack, apparently on this company called DYN, located in the heart of Silicon Valley.
Yep. Well, I mean, the part of the problem with denial of service attacks is if you are sharing resources with someone who's getting hit, then you can become collateral damage as well. Like
right.
if some of the routers go down or some of the other equipment gets impacted, you become a victim of the attack as well.
We like to use this technical term, and we call that dependencies. You're dependent. If you have a website, rollandtonglao.com, for example, you're dependent on whoever hosts that website. You're dependent on whoever hosts the name servers that allow you to map rollandtonglao.com to a number, a series of numbers, a so-called IP address. You're dependent on the traffic going through the peering points, which is where most of the major traffic, most of your web traffic ends up at less than 25 places in North America. It goes through these internet providers at about 25 buildings or 25 server farms or 25 router farms.
So they become effectively bottlenecks.
Right. And then that's not the only dependencies, right? You have dependencies on your power. You have dependencies on your Wi-Fi or your Ethernet at home. You have dependencies on your operating system for your computer or phone.
The scariest thing about denial of service attacks is
we call this DOSing. You could be DOSed at any point in this chain, any part of these dependencies, any one or more of these dependencies.
And it's true that you need like a lot of traffic to take down a major server, but the problem is security in computers and devices is so bad
right.
that you can get malware, and so you can effectively, they call them zombies for obvious reasons, you can infect so many machines that even though one machine is sending a small amount of data, they literally get hundreds of thousands, in some cases millions of machines attacking the same target by using malware. And somebody sitting at home in their basement with their laptop can effectively take down a very major server if they have managed to put together, they call it a botnet.
So let me contextualize this for you, right? It used to be before Microsoft got security, before Microsoft adopted their weekly patch Tuesday, before Microsoft bundled antivirus updates. What was the statistic I read? The Windows XP machine before Service Pack 2 would be attacked within 30 seconds of being put on the public internet. And this malware, so it's a piece of software that you get through some sort of vector, could be as simple as downloading a link on your friend's email or clicking on a link in a friend's email. Could be a lot of things. Within 2 minutes, the legend goes, before Microsoft got all security conscious, your Windows XP computer, fresh out of the box, would be compromised. And, or maybe this is pre-Windows XP, and the botnet would start there.
XP, yeah.
And so, if you think about it, if 5,000 computers per day go online with Windows XP, it's probably way more. It was way more than that. And if 1% of those computers' malware succeeds in running, and then you multiply that by 365 days a year.
The reason this has gotten scarier is, and this is where we go from the realm of the technical into the realm of social and a whole bunch of
social.
The way businesses
socials make it scarier.
Businesses run. There are all kinds of devices now that are getting internet connected, and the engineers doing these things have no onus to do good security. And hey. So, like your home network router, your TV set. That your internet-connected TV set, all of these devices now have basically crap security. They have no ability to get an update even if they find a problem.
Right.
And in fact, there was a security researcher named Kreb who had his website taken down by a botnet attack that was actually internet-connected cameras because they have a relatively high bandwidth connection to the net for the video. And they took down his website. He was on Akamai. And Akamai basically said, like, we can't, we are doing this for free. We really can't do this anymore because this, to go to the next level of protection would cost millions of dollars.
The problem with software is that it's upgradable. It's attackable, and then it's upgradable. And if the software nerds don't give you a fix, you're screwed. So and this is a problem, right?
I don't see this as a software nerd. These are the people running the company. Sometimes they're software nerds.
Right.
But you can't tell me Samsung with their smart TV that's doing business the way they're doing. I mean, we still don't. We barely have updates happening now for cell phones.
We as software nerds have to stand up for that. But you're right.
No,
ultimately,
we
it's corporate
society,
responsibility. Like Microsoft corporately
took
responsibility.
We have to educate people to ask for this. And unfortunately, I think it's going to take a major. It always does take like a major incident to trigger something happening.
And I don't want to scare people, but if you have an Android phone that doesn't have, hasn't had an update in a year, or you haven't applied that update in a year, your phone or tablet could be running malware.
Yeah.
And could be contributing to this denial of service or other bad stuff. So that is a major, major problem. And then Internet of Things, which have even worse software practices, security-wise, have the same problems. Your Samsung TV.
People are going to shoot me for saying this, but I don't know. I'm starting to think it's time for software liability. With the Internet of Things, it's time for software liability laws.
Yes. You shouldn't have to worry about your TV.
You shouldn't have
to worry about your phone even.
We have to make the manufacturers have a vested interest in keeping their stuff secure.
Yes.
There's actually another incident with medical devices where a hedge fund in a kind of a shady gray area hires people to find security issues with things like pacemakers. And the thing is that invalidates the certification on the pacemaker, which now means the company who made it has this big financial hit. And so they can do things like sell short, announce the insecurity, the price goes down.
That should not be allowed. That should kind of be against the law.
I mean, technically it's against the law, but like there are some gray areas where you can operate and, but they need to get called on stuff like that.
Well, so what do you think, Joseph Planta, Richard Erickson, Anthony Hughes? Do you agree that liability should be assumed by the makers of devices with software in them? I totally agree. It's going to be a painful wake-up call for the industry.
There should at least be some standards, some minimum standards, for patching.
Hey, give us a job for life.
Oh, God.
Technical support or writing software patches?
I don't want that job.
Signing off from being around the world.
Canby and Hastings.
Canby and Hastings.
The baristas are awesome.
The muffins, what kind of muffins do you buy?
I get the blueberry raspberry.
The blueberry raspberry muffins are awesome. Oh, the Strange Fellows beer is good, too. Prost, L'chaim. Everyone have a great weekend. Hopefully we'll be back next Friday. Ciao, tschüss.
Take care. Bye-bye.